Welcome to Burning River Radio. I'm your host, Joe Koblitz, and I am joined today from It's Pronounced Lajoué, which I don't know that we ever determined if it was or was not, Chris Burnham.
How are you doing? How are you doing?
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
As you know, this show is about the Indians. Chris is Canadian.
Sort of. Not quite.
I like to just like to mix it up early and try to get that racism in there as soon as we can.
Yeah. Keep it coming. Yeah.
So Chris is our friend from the north, and he's up there with Jon Snow and the Wildlings.
Yeah.
And
Game of Thrones thing, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I've only seen the first season, so I really don't have any idea what you're talking about.
It was in the first season, but don't worry about it. I'm down in the desert, so we're very far apart, but we can still talk together through the magic of the inner tubes. What I would like to talk about today is something before the internet was a thing, actually. If you listen to my last podcast, and I don't know why you would, it's me rambling on for 50 minutes about Yandy Diaz and the current state of the Indian system and why they should cut an entire farm team worth of players and why they should give more minor leaguers a chance to play in the majors. So it's all that stuff. And one thing I wanted to get into that, and Chris is the perfect guy to talk about this with. One thing I didn't get into at the end, but I kind of wanted to, is that this is not just a problem within the Indians farm system. It's a problem everywhere. And this may be going full millennial, except that I don't live even in the same state as my parents. And I buy avocados a lot, but they're five for a dollar. So it's really not... It didn't stop me from buying a house. I own a house, and I buy avocados. But my full millennial is these old people are taking our jobs.
Yeah.
And I would say, like, no one has ever come at me with this argument. People come at me with arguments all the time when I complain about things. Like, when I complain about Yandy Diaz not playing enough, they go, oh, so you think you're smarter than Terry Francona. And I said, no, I'm not smarter than Terry Francona. I have different priorities than Terry Francona has. For his priorities, he's doing the smartest thing he could, but those are not the same priorities that I have. So it's a different thing. I really wish somebody would come up to me, though, when I complain about Sports Time Ohio or Paul Hoynes or any of those things, and they say to me, you're just jealous because you want that job. So I can
Well,
say,
let me tell you, Joe, I'm your man.
Okay, you're going to tell me I'm jealous?
No, I'm not.
I want someone to tell me I'm jealous so I can say, yes, I'm jealous. Because, I mean, I feel like, and somebody, I don't follow or read Paul Hoynes or Terry Pluto anymore. I've loved Terry Pluto in the past. I have a lot of his books. But somebody posted something he wrote the other day that was just asinine. And every time anyone posts anything of Hoynesy, all I ever see, because he blocked me, is I'll see the quote retweet, which is the only way Chris knows how to talk. I think it's a Canadian thing.
Right, yeah.
I think that's his Canadian accent. But so they'll quote retweet Hoynes, and they'll say in their commentary, what an idiot. And then I don't get to see why he's an idiot. I only see...
Oh, yeah.
That he's an idiot.
So what you're telling me is I need to go old school Twitter on you and post the entire tweet with the little RT afterwards, and then put...
Yeah, the new school is a screenshot. Just take a screenshot of it and post that.
Oh, okay.
Like when he got in a fight with Trevor Bauer the other day, somebody did finally post a screenshot of that where Hoynes essentially misquoted Bauer. And then Bauer said to Hoynes, how about you just ask me? You know, how about you don't misquote me and you just ask me and I'll give you a quote? You're having a bad day, go take a nap or something like that.
Right, yeah.
And then Hoynes got mad at him again for saying that. And he said, I'll report how I want to report. But Bauer had a point in that he has access to the Indians' locker room, and he's not using it.
Right.
Whereas I've been writing about the team since 2011, I don't have access to the Indians' locker room. But I feel like the things I'm putting out there are more reasonable than the things he and Hoynes and Pluto are writing about at this point. I think it's just because they're so old.
Well, and another thing is ESPN ran with a tweet from Michael Bowman from the from the Ringer the other day, and that got Trevor all up. And, you know, how he is. And,
That's not fair. That's not fair to say that's on Bauer. That was ridiculous.
No, not at all. I agree with the fact that Bauer, but, you know, how, there's always something about him that make people want to needle him, and he just takes the bait. And
well, I think he did start fighting with people who tweeted at him. And to me, if you have $1 million, I guess you can go on Twitter and argue with people. But once you have $1 million in your bank, you should probably just not even have a Twitter.
Let it go. Yeah.
Why do you even need a Twitter account? But his initial comment on them saying, I want a retraction, was fine. Somebody wrote a sarcastic comment about how he was using colloidal silver and blood transfusions to heal his broken bone faster, which is funny. Like, I get that. I thought the initial tweet was funny. I can't believe someone could write a joke and have it. I do believe. I 100% believe that the news would run with somebody writing a joke. Never mind.
Right. Yeah.
I write jokes all the time. I wish the news would run with one of my jokes. I get that. I make jokes all the time, and so many times somebody will come back to me with a comment, and my standard response is 90% of my Twitter is jokes.
Mine is too. You've seen me. I mean, I hardly ever say something super serious, and, you know. So I think people just know that Bauer is an easy click, because he's willing to give them that pushback, and it's just easy work for them to do, and so. If they can catch wind of something that he does or says, they're gonna run with it. And
back to the Hoynesy thing, I'm sure that's why he did it. He essentially, what he wrote as his headline was, the Indians say he's gonna be back in 4 to 6 weeks. Bauer disagrees, or something along those lines. And Bauer saying, I didn't disagree with him. Like that never happened. I just said I'm gonna work as hard as I can to get back as quickly as I can. And you are making a clickbait headline because that's what you need to do now.
Right. So, and he's the most outspoken guy on the team. So, he's the guy that, they know that they can get views from. So, there you go.
Yeah, so it bugs me because there are, and I used to not get along with Mike Hattery. And I don't even know where he's writing for anymore, so I can't plug. You're going to name a defunct website, because the one I know for him doesn't exist anymore.
The one I'm thinking of. I'm blanking.
The Athletic? Is he writing for The Athletic now?
I don't believe so. I have a subscription. I haven't seen him.
Okay, I thought maybe he was.
Let me check.
So it doesn't matter. He wrote, I initially we had some disagreements because he attacked one of my writers. And I'm going to always stick up for my group of writers no matter what. And that writer does not write for me anymore, but that's not because of anything they did. It's just because they didn't want to work for it anymore.
Yeah,
that happens all the time. So, but they had a disagreement, so I initially got off onto a bad We had a bad look with each other initially, and as I've gotten to see him more on Twitter, almost everything he tweets I agree with 100%. And he was a writer in residence or something for Fangraphs for a month, where they bring a guy in for a month and have him write for him, and he was great on there. And I He's writing for a major site now, but I can't. I don't know exactly what it is. But the point is, you've got this guy out here, and I'm not going to say I'm as good as Hatter. He's a much better, he's a much more analytical guy than I am. He knows the stuff more. I read a ton. I read as many books as I can on baseball. I'm fluent in the websites. I know this stuff, but I don't know it as well as he does. So I'm not going to say I can compete with him. What I'm saying is he's better than Hoynes.
Oh, and, yeah, much.
And he's not the only one. There are other guys like Jim Pete is really great. Yeah. And I know those two guys have kind of been together. They used to write for Everyone Hates Cleveland, which doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Yeah,
that doesn't exist. So I don't know exactly what they're doing
And
now.
Yeah, he does write for The Athletic.
Okay, so yeah, that's what I thought. He writes for The Athletic. And Jim barely writes anything anymore, but he does every once in a while post something. So if you follow him on Twitter, you can find it. But
yep,
Jim,
I do.
Jim is more of the emotional side.
He much like I am.
Okay, you're on this. I have John Hutchison writes for us, and he covers more of that type of aspect of the team, whereas myself and Gavin are more on the analysis side. And obviously Gavin's more analytically inclined than I am. But my point is, Terry Pluto, to me, is a very emotional writer. If you read his books, it's not about the numbers. It's not about this guy's here, this guy's there, and this thing happened. It's really about this is why it mattered to me, and this has mattered, you know, to him. Like, he's on that level.
Bottom line.
But to me, Jim Pete is like a better writer than Terry Pluto is at this point in his career. But for some reason, and this gets back to the millennial thing that I was kind of joking about, is why does Terry Pluto get a job forever? Yes, he is great. Yes, he was great. Why is he still writing newspaper articles? He's got to be like 80-something. He's been around forever.
he was around when I was a kid. It's just one of those things. I think Cleveland, as in terms of media, has been one of those cities where people get grandfathered in, no pun intended, to their spot. And I think that they like that the type of voice that's been around for a while, that like how things were, you know, back in the day, you know, back in the glory days of the Browns, of the Browns, because the Indians never really had much of a glory day back, you know, for many, many years. So that's just how I feel. I don't think the Plain Dealer and places like that really want to move on to younger voices.
Yeah, but I think, like, this is kind of – when you see these millennial arguments – a lot of them, they come down to this, the millennials are adults at this point, but the previous generation, whatever, the people who are 40 to 60 now, will come out and say millennials are lazy. They just don't want to work. They're living in their parents' basements. They have all this debt, but they don't want to get a real job. And then the millennials will say, well, school costs more than it used to, and you have to go to school, and you didn't have to go. But I think a lot of it is actually people work a lot longer than they used to. And I've known in my jobs that I've had, it's very easy to quickly reach a plateau, and now you've got one or two people in front of you or ahead of you in the organization, and you're looking like, that guy's 10 years older than me, and he's going to be in that spot for the next 30 years. Like, I don't have any – there's no place for me to go in this organization.
You hit the glass ceiling and –
I think it's just a regular ceiling. So in this sports media, if you look at who The Athletic is hiring, they're not hiring these veterans who've been around for 40 years. They're hiring the best writers.
Yeah.
It's not about we want this guy who's been around for 60 years. It's we want the best. And I think I love that meritocracy of it, that we need the best of the best people here, and it doesn't matter how old you are, and it doesn't matter – if you've been doing this for 60 years, we just want the people who are the best at it right now. And you don't necessarily need to be. And a great one is, I always forget his name, Kyle Boddy.
Yeah.
With Driveline. Somebody just posted to him the other day, like, bragging about how many degrees he had. And he goes, I don't care how many degrees you have. I want to know that you can do the job.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter. And so I love that, the whole, like, let's give the job to the person who deserves it most. Let's give the promotion to the person who deserves it most. And I think that...
The one who worked the most.
Yeah, and I think that needs to run right directly into a discussion on Sports Time Ohio.
Okay, now this is where... Yeah, this is... Before we started recording, we were talking about this.
Yeah.
This is where I'm your man, and I'm going to go right through this with you. Because I believe you and I are right on... in lockstep here with how that corporate ladder has been going.
Well, you know what's funny? I have a list of every single guy who's ever been on the radio or TV for the Indians.
Right.
There's actually only 40 people on this list. And some of them, a lot of them, only did 1 year.
Yeah.
Mike Hargrove is on here for 2011, Brian Anderson is 2007, because they were like a third guy in the booth. I don't remember.
Right, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
I think this came from an Indians media guide at one point, and then after I made that list, I've updated it myself. But updating has been really easy, because all I have to do is change the last year on four guys' names.
Yeah.
Because since, other than those like random third guys in the booth, since 1990, Rick Manning has been the main color commentator for whatever the channel is. They changed channels like five times. He's been the main color TV guy, and Tom Hamilton has been the main radio guy since 1990. Can you imagine doing the same thing since 1990? I was 4 years old in 1990.
I was 11 in 1990. So, yeah, I remember before, let's see, it was, when I started watching, like really paying attention, it was Jack Corrigan and Mike Hegan, I believe, on Channel 43.
Yes.
And it was them for a couple years, and then it was, then... I believe 43 lost most of their games to what was Sports Channel at the time. And it was John Saunders and Manning with Hegan kind of splitting their play-by-their color duty.
Yeah, and he stayed around until 2006. He actually did 23 years, Mike Hegan did.
Holy cow.
Between the radio, because then he finished his career on radio.
Right, I forgot about that. You're
so
right.
Between the two, he did 23 years. And that's not that weird. If you look back, they've had, let's see, Jack Greaney, Bob Neal, Herb Score, Tom Hamilton, Mike Hegan, and Rick Manning all did more than 20 years.
Yeah.
And so that's, Jack Greaney was the 30s. So it's not like it's a new thing to have a guy go that long. But Herb Score has the record most seasons with 33. But he started on TV and then went to the radio. As far as just TV, nobody is close to Rick Manning doing 28 straight years.
Oh, not at all, no. Yeah. And I'm, like I told you before, they need to do something about Underwood. He is the absolute most awful. He stumbled over his word. He missed. You know, he's always missing the count. Matt Underwood is an accomplished journalist, okay? He is not a TV guy. He was on Channel 5 News, but that's different than being the play-by-play guy for a sports team, you know? And a couple weeks ago when Al Pawlowski, stood in for Matt while he was in Cooperstown covering Jim Tomey, that was like heaven on earth. Al sounded like he knew what he was doing.
The funny thing about Al is he doesn't have a great personality. He's kind of boring. But he gave more good information out in 10 minutes than Underwood has in 20 years.
Exactly. And he seemed at ease in doing... Underwood liked to go off on these tangents that really have nothing to do whatsoever with the game, you know.
I think a lot of guys do that, though.
Maybe. But it just seems like he pays more attention talking about whatever else is on his mind than he does the game, and I'm pretty sure that Rick Manning wants to wring his neck, like, 8 times out of 10.
I think that's probably true. The one thing that I thought was funny, and it's an idea I had the other day, like Rick Manning was a Gold Glove center fielder for the Indians in the 1970s.
Yeah.
Like, what if Kenny Lofton really wanted to be a TV announcer? And I mean, I've heard him speak. I think he probably could do it. But he now has no chance at all because Manning has been in there for almost 30 years.
Yeah.
And he's, like, completely blowing past. And I have heard Brian Anderson was an incredible announcer. And I've listened – whenever they play Tampa Bay, I listen to the road broadcast because he's such a good announcer. He's one of my favorites in baseball. And I do listen
right.
to – I've been listening to more and more road broadcasts because I can't stand listening to Underwood and Manning talk. So, like, there are guys out there who have come up through the Indian system.
Right.
You know, they were with the Indians, and now they are gone somewhere else because we have to have the same two guys call games forever. And the one thing that really bugged me, probably more than anything else recently, was about two – when did Andre not come on? A couple years ago, right? Maybe 3 years ago?
Maybe about 3-4 years ago.
Yeah. So when he came on, I remember one of the first things he tried to do – was implement some of the more modern stats into the game. And so he would talk about war, and like the first time he ever said war, Rick Manning goes, "What is it good for? Ha ha ha." And then
yeah.
they start laughing at him. The second year, he didn't bring it up as much. The third year, he would bring it up and he goes, "Yeah, ha ha, but let's actually say the stats." And this year, he's been attacking it more than they have. Like they completely converted this guy who was a modern thinker into just attacking these new stats. Like, oh, it doesn't matter. And it could be because Andre Knott is the one actually talking to the players, and the players don't like it.
Right.
But I've always said it's not for the players. It's for the front office. It's for the fans. It's for the announcers. That's who needs to know about war. Players don't need to know about war at all. It doesn't affect them. They do need to know about launch angle and exit velocity and those type of things.
Yeah.
But they don't need to know war and FIP and all the, you know, those stats. Because it's not really affecting them. You could tell them, like, I guess if a guy has a batting average on balls in play of 500, you should probably say, and this happened, Mike Petrello with, I think that's the right name, with Minnesota.
Yeah.
Right? Is he the guy with Minnesota or is that the other guy? Somebody else.
Oh, wait a minute.
Minnesota is like Maine, beat writer.
Oh, I thought you were talking about somebody else.
I probably was. I follow a lot of these guys now. I've been trying to follow more and more guys around the league. Mike Berardino. That's who it is.
Oh, that name sounds familiar. Yeah.
Mike Berardino said the other day he was interviewing one of the Twins players, and he brought up batting average on balls in play, and he explained it to him because the guy had a batting average on balls in play of like 450 or 500. And since then, he went like 0-16 on balls in play. And he said, "I don't think this guy's ever going to talk to me again." But the fact is, if a guy has a batting average on balls in play of 500, he should probably know about it just so he knows there's a crash coming. Don't get too upset when it happens. Don't be like, "Oh, I was hitting everything and now I'm not hitting anything." No, that's not what happened. You were really lucky and now you're not lucky. And the same thing is the opposite. Last year, Luis Oviedo played for the AZL Indians. He had a terrible season if you look at his ERA. But if you look, his batting average on balls in play was at least 420, and his FIP was like second best in the entire league.
Right.
So that's saying, yes, his ERA is bad, but he had bad defense behind him. He was unlucky.
And he was getting balls hit right at people that they weren't taking care of.
Well, yeah, I can tell you from seeing the games that there were balls that should have been called errors and were not.
Yeah.
So then he goes up to Mahoning Valley. The defense is better. He gets a little luckier. And he has one of the best – him and Eli Morgan have essentially had the two best seasons in for the whole Indians farm system. So he went from having one of the worst seasons to one of the best. And if you had told him – I don't know if anyone did tell him this. But if you said to him, "Hey, it's not your fault. Your FIP is
right.
good. Just,
yeah.
You know, if you had told him that, then he would at least know, okay, next year is going to be better. And then it was better. It doesn't mean don't keep working or anything. It just means,
right.
hey, just be patient and this will probably work itself out. And that's the
thing. Log of variance and whatever.
Yeah, so I wish the Indians announcers could use those to tell fans, even if the players don't need to know about it. They
right.
could tell the fans, hey, Melky Cabrera has a 500 batting average on balls in play. This is not going to continue. And
no.
he's not even being that successful on his balls in play. It's just, you know, like, this is going down, and it's not going to be pretty. So if you give some at-bats to Yandy Diaz, it wouldn't be that bad. But they don't do that. They go, oh, look at how amazing. He's so hot recently.
Mm-hmm.
There's never any look beyond the top thing. So then I have to deal with idiot fans.
Yeah.
Who get all their information from those guys. When they're wrong, I swear, listening when I do listen to them, it's like every 5 minutes I get disgusted by something they say. And I've been better lately of not tweeting every time. Because then I'll go back in time and I'll look at my tweets. I'm like, that makes no sense out of context because no one has any clue what I was talking about.
Right.
The one time Underwood interacted with me recently, and I think I may have talked about this, but I don't know, on the podcast. But he was doing like a John Wayne impression. And after he finished – now, again, going back to what you said about why the hell was he doing a John Wayne impression?
Yeah, yeah.
So he does it, and after he does it, it was dead silence on the air for like 10 seconds. And like, if they actually cared about it or whatever, they would have just been like, boo, you stink.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if I had done that, I would hope with one of my friends, I would hope that they would say to me, boo, you stink. Like, that's terrible. Don't do that. So, but nobody said that. They were just silent for 10 seconds. So I tweeted, even when Matt Underwood is trying to be entertaining, he's even less entertaining than he usually is. And somebody sent that to him. Out of context, there's no context at all. And that's kind of why I stopped making those comments, was because in context, it made sense. Out of context.
Out of context, the guy gonna be like, what? Why is this guy, picking on me, even though he,
Yeah, so I try not to make those tweets.
Yeah.
But I feel them all the time. And I'll say them to my wife, and she gets annoyed at me.
I'm, what I say on Twitter is, like, there's countless of things that I'm like, I should say there. And then it's like one of those things I have it, like, written, I'm ready to post it, and I'm like, no, somebody's gonna bitch about it. And,
I've definitely been more selective lately. And I've never sworn on Twitter. You can go back and search through all my tweets, and you're not going to find anything offensive. But it's more of just, it's not worth the fight.
The hackle.
Yeah. I'm trying to make people laugh in general with my tweets. And if it's
me
not
going
to make somebody laugh, it's probably not worth it.
Yeah. So, but they need a shakeup. Like you said, Rick probably not going anywhere, but if they would just, Matt's just not good at what he does.
I don't mind Rick as much, but I want somebody new in there. And like I said, Kenny Lofton, if he wanted to, well, too bad, there's no room. If Andre not wanted to be on there full time. Oh, well, what are you going to do, stick around for another 20 years, Andre? These guys don't look like they're going to retire. They don't – I think Tom Hamilton will. I think he's waiting for a ring. He's definitely showing that I'm only going to show up once a week – or a couple times a week. I'm
right.
going on road games. That Hawk Harrelson, that Vin Scully thing of, you know, slowing it down because you want to win a World Series. But at some point, if they don't win one, I think he'll leave anyway. But I do think if they win a World Series, he's going to be like, I'm done. I'm out. And then maybe they move Andre Knott to radio or something like that. They definitely seem to be very incestuous as far as...
Like you said, Hegan finished up his career. I believe he passed away while he was still on the roster.
Yeah.
And Hegan went straight to radio after they booted him off of TV. So,
and I liked him on radio. But I mean, like,
oh, I did too.
I thought he was really good. I don't like Rosie.
Rosie is like watching paint dry.
But yeah, like Al Pawlowski, Rosie is boring, but he has better numbers and he has better information than Tom
That's
Hamilton
true.
Does.
Yeah.
Hamilton will tell you what
Hamilton blows stuff off a lot. And, yeah.
Hamilton will tell you what happened at the hotel and, you know, what his Uber driver.
Yeah.
Whatever. Like, he'll go off on some other things that don't make any sense, but Rosie is boring. So you have to mesh the one or two. Now, did you listen to the Facebook Live broadcast?
Yes, I did.
Now, I liked some of it, but at a certain point, it felt like there was a baseball game interrupting their conversation.
Yeah, and I think that's what you got with Glenn Perkins. I don't think Glenn Perkins is really a baseball announcer type. I think he's just the kind of guy that wants to drink beer and talk all day.
They had a lot of people on the broadcast. They were doing interviews almost every inning, and some of them were very informative. But
yeah, I kind of liked that. It gave it a little bit of a spring training feel more than a mid-season game feel.
Yeah, that's true.
But Jody Garrett sounded like he was completely out of his depth.
But Jody Garrett has actually does Indians games on the radio.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I forgot all about that.
I don't listen to a whole lot of games on the radio, but every once in a while we'll be out someplace, and we can put it on the phone now, which is fantastic. So you're really never far away from it, so you just throw it on the MLB app on the phone, and you can listen to the radio. And I think you can do that even if you're in Cleveland.
No blackout.
Yeah, I think on the radio.
Oh.
If you can't watch MLB TV until after the game ends, which stinks.
Right, yeah.
That did happen once. We were in Cleveland, and we were away from a house or something. Or maybe we were out in the backyard or something, and I'm like, oh, I'll just throw it on MLB TV. It's like, oh, no, you can't do that because we're actually in Ohio, which is so dumb. Again, this is all like the MLB is just dragging its heels on everything.
Right.
I'm paying $120 a year for this thing. Just let me watch it. Who cares if it's also on cable? I always say that about the Diamondbacks. In Arizona, we're blacked out from seeing the Padres and the Diamondbacks. There's no reason to black us out from the Padres. It doesn't make sense, but they are.
How far away are you from San Diego?
Four hours drive.
Oh, okay.
And we went there a couple weeks ago. It's not bad. We go there once or twice a year.
Yeah.
But we're not... Yeah, but, I don't know. Yeah. We don't have cable, so maybe they are on a cable channel here, but we don't see it. But the Diamondbacks, my point is, I'm never going to pay $100 or $120 or $200 a month for cable. So the only way I'll ever see the Diamondbacks is if I see them on MLB TV. And if they're going to be blacked out, then I'm never going to see them. So you want me to sell me? You want to sell me on this Diamondbacks team? Let me watch them. For the thing I paid. It's not for free. I paid for this. Let me watch the Diamondbacks. And maybe I'll start liking them a little bit, and maybe I'll buy some tickets and go to some games. But if they're going to be blacked out, then I'll just say, fine, I'll just watch the Indians every day, and it's no big deal. So I think there's a lot of things that they could do to improve, and maybe the Facebook thing is one of them. I don't like Facebook. I deleted it off my phone. I had an account when I was in college, and when they opened it up to everybody, I deleted my account. Because I said, I don't want it to be to everybody. I just want it for college kids. And my plan was as soon as I graduated to delete it anyway. Because I was like, this is just for college kids. You needed a college email address to sign up when I first got on. So I deleted it then. I got back on a year or so ago because we were going to do some podcasting type stuff on there. And that never worked out. So I just have this empty account that I don't do anything with. But luckily I have the account. Because when they went on Facebook, I was able to watch the game. And I was able to cast – I put it on my computer and cast it from my computer onto my TV. So it's like – it's the same to me as watching a game on MLB TV.
Yeah. I tried to do that with mine, but I couldn't figure it out because I'm stupid.
I think it's the Canadian internet.
Yeah, maybe. There's also, for, like, smart TV, a Facebook Watch app, but I couldn't find it on mine.
You know, I think that might be on – I use the PlayStation 4 to watch my games. And there may be an app on there for Facebook, but I didn't get it. I don't, like, I'm morally against Facebook now. When I found out they're recording, I don't have any problem with them recording data when you're on the app. But they were recording everything that happened on your phone ever, just if you had the app on your phone. And to me, that was a little unnecessary.
Yeah.
So that's why I deleted the app off my phone, which then makes it so you can't watch the Facebook Live games on there. And they've put some games on Twitter, too. I don't know if they put baseball games, but there have been football games on Twitter and things like that. And I don't generally watch them. When they pop up on the side, I usually close it down. So I like having all my stuff in one place.
I do, too, yeah.
I like the MLB TV. I'll pay for it without any problem every year. I got no problem with it.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. I think one of the things they did this week, they did a broadcast that was specifically for sabermetric friendly fans.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't watch it because the Indians were playing at the same time. And I kind of wish I did because I'd like to see, you know, how they run that. And if they do, there's such a demand for baseball right now. The STO ratings are the best in the country, and they're the best in Indians history. I think you could support two broadcast teams. And that way, you could give the old school folks what they want with Matt and Rick and Andre if he wanted to stay there, and Jensen Lewis, who is the most old school of all of them for some reason.
Right, yeah.
And you could still have a second channel where you're doing more advanced stuff. And I don't even need them to be talking about war. I just need them to not be talking about batting average in the sixth inning on the road.
Right.
Like, that's not a thing. Like, every time they do that, as soon as they say batting average, I'm out. And then half the time they'll go, his batting average on the road, and I'm like, no, I'm out because you said on the road and there's no difference. And then I'm out because...
Well, I'll be honest. I used to be one of those batting average idiot, and I've definitely turned around on that, because with the advent of the shift now on almost every pitch, you can't take the batting average into account anymore.
Well, here's some value for batting average to me, is that it's part of on-base percentage, and it's subtracted out of ISO. So there's your two benefits. So I said, and there's a guy, Giante Turner, playing for the Arizona League Indians. He has an extremely high batting average, and because of that, he has a high on-base percentage. But he doesn't walk very much. And so I said, for a guy like him, batting average is important. So you have to kind of keep an eye on that and his batting average on balls in play and make sure it's sustainable, because he's not going to walk. So for him to have a high on-base percentage, he needs a high batting average. So you're still looking at on-base percentage, but the primary component of that on-base percentage is not like Carlos Santana, where it's walks. It's definitely, even at the same level, Raynel Delgado, you know, where he's walking a lot, it's definitely hits. So you're looking at more of a batting average as that. And then the other part is, if a guy has a high batting average, he's also going to have a high slugging percent. So you have to then subtract that out of the slugging percentage to get his ISO to see how much of his slugging percent is actually coming from extra base hits.
Yeah.
So in one point, it's a positive, and the other point, it's a negative. But again, the fans should know this. They should be taught this. I think everyone should read Smart Baseball by Keith Law. I think my first book that got me really into it was Baseball Between the Numbers, Everything You Know About the Game is Wrong, which was by the Baseball Prospectus team,
mm-hmm.
I believe. So get these books, read them, learn about the game, because obviously STO is not going to teach you anything.
Yeah.
I will say, and they always talk about how hard it is to call games. I've actually decided I was going to practice and try. So I have been calling some games for short periods of time, and there's difficult stuff about it, but always the times where I have problems are when I'm like, well, I don't have the lineup in front of me, I don't have the stats in front of me, and I'm recording them on my phone, so I can't look it up or else it'll stop the recording. So if you had an entire group of people, like a team, like they do, of people saying things in your ear and handing you papers, like every time Matt has a stat, it's not because he went on Baseball Reference and looked it up.
Somebody gave it to him.
Somebody handed it to him. So if you had those people handing you stuff, absolutely anybody could be doing this. It's not a difficult thing. I have no problem at all filling air when I'm watching when I'm recording these AZL games. So you can look up my recordings and make fun of me, please. Go on there and say you're terrible at it. Just go to Burning River Baseball on YouTube and subscribe. And then
I'm already subscribed.
Oh, okay. And then listen to him and be like, you are the most boring, monotonous asshole I've ever listened to. And then tweet me that because I want to know. Because
I don't have to listen to that to know that. I already know that. So, you know.
Well, but see, I need it tweeted at me because I want to know, and I'll take it as constructive criticism.
Yeah.
All right, I think that's about it for this show. You can follow Chris at his birthday and some weird... I'm going to look this up again.
What?
It's CM...
CMB
1979. 1979. I told you, it's his initials and his birthday. So
yeah.
If you ever want to get into his bank account, it's CMB 1979.
My billions of dollars.
He gets paid really well. I'll plug Stephanie Licio, too. I think her Twitter is just Stephanie Licio.
Yeah, I
agree. She's the boss. And your other co-worker, co-boss? Yeah, she has a new book out.
Yeah, Throw Like a Girl, I believe.
No.
Oh. Yeah.
You going to make me look it up?
The title is, I feel so bad. But Susan has a new book out. Look it up.
I'm looking it up real quick.
Haven't look read it too. Yet.
You'd think she would have it like on top of her Twitter. Yes, Throw Like a Girl is a good book, and I read that. I do have that. I don't. The Super Ladies.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Is a new one, so I'll plug that because it's new. I have not read it. I did read her other book, but not this one. So The Super Ladies by Susan Petroni.
I believe it's Petroni.
I guess you would know better than me. And they're all from the wonderful site, It's Pronounced Lajoie. I, of course, have been Joe Koblitz from Burning River Baseball. And I'm really trying – right now the focus is to move my live videos from Twitter to YouTube because it's so much easier for me to use and the quality's better and everything's better about it. So I just need people to actually watch them. So go from
on his link, people.
I still tweet them out on Twitter. But if I just tweet a link for YouTube out on Twitter, that means I'm going live because it doesn't automatically put a title in there. So check it out, live AZL games for about one more week, and then we're going to start the playoffs off down here. So Burning River Baseball on YouTube. It's burningriverbaseball.com for the website. Burning River BB is the Twitter. They're all pretty simple. We're on Facebook, too, if you believe in that nonsense. again, just Burning River Baseball everywhere. And that's it for us. I will try to do these more regularly, even if I have to do them by myself again and you just get the ramblings of a madman. I think that's entertaining, at least a little bit. So we'll see you next time. This has been Burning River Radio.